The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another teaching from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. On this particular Sunday, the first one in Advent, the Sunday of Hope, our associate pastor, Dr. Rick Ashe, preached a sermon called Hope and the Gratitude Loop. What in the world is a gratitude loop? And by the way, what in the world is a doom loop? And does any of that sound hopeful at all? And what's it got to do with Advent? Well, Pastor Rick's going to tell you now. Thanks for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Rick.
Well, good morning, church, and Happy New Year. Happy first Sunday of Advent. This is such a great time of the year for us. And I wanted to start out this morning by just noting, if you haven't been with us before for an Advent season, I just wanted to hit a couple of things. What is this Advent thing? Like, where does this idea come from? What is the point of this? And I have a couple of different things to share here. First off, Advent is actually part of what we call the season of light. The season of light has three major movements. The first one is Advent, the beginning of the Christian calendar, the beginning of our year. So today we start anew and fresh. And in Advent, we anticipate the second coming of Christ. It's interesting that we come right off the heels of Christ the King Sunday, where we declare that he is our King, and then we take this time to look forward. A lot of people, myself included growing up, thought this was all about popping open the little story that leads us finally to Jesus on Christmas morning, and that is true. But there is a lot of weight that we put into this season, these 4 weeks, that has to do with anticipating, hoping, longing, looking forward to the return of our King. Then the second is Christmas, sometimes also referred to as Christmastide. And in Christmas, we rejoice Christ is born. And then there's a third part that you may not know about, or maybe you do if you've been around our church long enough. In this season of light, it's called Epiphany. And in Epiphany, the theme is the revealing, the aha moment, the, oh, now I get it. And we see that throughout the scriptures. And this is when the world must be told. So we wait to sing certain songs like Go Tell It on the Mountain till we get there. We intentionally structure and organize, and Ellen puts a lot of work into our liturgy. It was funny this morning. There's a friend's church, and so I jumped on, like, you know, to watch them because they're out on the East Coast. And what was it? It was Gloria in Excelsis. It was like a Christmas morning song, you know. And I'm like, ooh, you're like, you're 4 weeks too early. So hold on a second. It's okay. But this is what we do. We intentionally pay attention to. We intentionally set aside time, not just to rush headlong into Christmas, or not just to compress everything into one singular moment, you know, on Christmas morning. But we take time to prepare ourselves. Here's what Augustine had to say. The first coming of Christ, our Lord God, God's Son, and our God, was in obscurity. The second will be in the sight of the whole world. When he came in obscurity, no one recognized him but his own servants. When he comes openly, he will be known by both good people and bad. When he came in obscurity, it was to be judged. When he comes openly, it will be to judge. It's the lamb that becomes the lion. Advent kind of grabs both the past and the future, and we kind of bear hug the whole thing together. Here's what the Nicene Creed has to say. This is AD 32. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, in reference to Jesus. There's this season of light. You're going to hear this in the songs that we sing already today, the scriptures that we look at. And then in Matthew chapter 4, I was reading this, my wife and I, this was part of our reading this week. This one really jumped out at me, because this is not, I don't think necessarily, directly an Advent, you know, type text, but it is from Isaiah. It's a reference to Isaiah, and it says, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. And Jesus is that light for you and I. Amen? So this morning, I would like you, if you haven't already, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 9. That's where we're going to start here this morning. We're going to look there, and we're going to look at Romans 1 together. And we are going to kick off Advent. We're going to kick off our season, our year. If you notice the banners behind us, Advent has the four different themes, hope, love, joy, peace, and then Christmas morning. And so each of these weeks, you're going to experience a different angle in Advent, a different theme. And this morning, we're focusing on hope. So 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 9. I want to dig into, pay special attention this morning to verse 4, but let me read this to you because there's some interesting things that I want to point out really quickly as we move forward. This is Paul saying, "May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." Now listen, "I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts," and he's going to name four of them here in just a second, "the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has, number one, enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have, number two, every spiritual gift you need. As you eagerly wait," listen to this Advent language, "as you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will, number three, keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when," again, Advent language, "our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And here's the big crescendo, number four, he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Wow. That is a lot, and it is awesome. And we could take the whole rest of the year to unpack just these couple of verses here. But I really, because of the nature of this morning and what my eye and my heart was drawn to as I was doing my studies and prepping, this verse 4, "I always thank God, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ." This morning, I want to talk about hope and the power of giving thanks. Hope and the power of giving thanks. Did you know that giving thanks is a primary factor in emotional and relational health? If you are struggling emotionally, it could very well be a giving thanks problem. If you are struggling relationally with someone in your life, it is very likely there is a giving thanks issue barrier happening. Gratitude, I've mentioned this before, gratitude challenges negative thinking. God wired our brains so that you cannot give thanks and be negative at the same time. Your brain will not do those two things at the same time. It's super fascinating. We are wired, we are designed to confront, to counter, to push back against negative through giving thanks. So here, listen to this. Gratitude is the inward feeling of kindness received or a blessing received. Gratitude is the inward feeling of kindness received. Thankfulness is the desire to express gratitude. Giving thanks is following through on thankfulness. Let me sum it up like this. You feel gratitude when someone blesses you, be it our Lord Jesus Christ, your spouse, a friend, your kids, whoever it happens to be. You feel gratitude. You think thankfulness, and then you do giving thanks. And you got to do all three of those things. And we're going to unpack that in just a minute, why that's so important. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Again, gratitude challenges negative thinking. Notice he didn't say, "Give thanks for all the circumstances." Like, "Oh God, thank you for all the persecution. Thank you that I'm getting mugged right now." That, you know, he doesn't say that. It says, in the midst of even the worst things in our lives, in the midst of the hard places and the dark places in our lives, gratitude, giving thanks can in that environment, push back the negative for us to create the space to see what it is that the Lord is up to and wants us to learn, or how he wants us to grow, or how he wants us to act, think, feel, function in that moment. Yes, there's going to be hard times. Yes, there's going to be realities for us. There's going to be awful things that happen. But even in and amongst those things, giving thanks creates God space for us to respond rightly to those trials and tribulations. Never mind all the great stuff, because that's easy, right? When something awesome happens, it's easy. Oh my gosh, it's easy to praise God. But when things get hard, see, God's wired us, prepared us to be able to create that space in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of that turmoil, to still focus on him, to still give thanks in all circumstances. So if you have, you want to switch over to Romans chapter 1. I want to show you, I want to compare and contrast two things. I want to compare and contrast what I call the doom loop with the gratitude loop this morning, okay? I thought Advent was happy. No, we're going to get into it here for a couple of minutes, actually, because this is really, really important for us to catch. Romans chapter 1, the doom loop. This is, I'm going to start at verse 19, and we're going to work our way through. And this may hit you like it hit me like a ton of bricks this week. Listen to this. "They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing him." The gospel is written into creation. We can see it around us. God's goodness, generosity towards us. Verse 21, "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God," check this out, "or even give him thanks." They knew God, but wouldn't worship him or even give him thanks. And what was the result? "And," or therefore, "they began to think up foolish ideas of what God is like." Does that sound familiar? "As a result, their minds became dark and confused." Does that sound familiar to anybody? "Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools." Does that sound familiar? Is that last night's news to anybody? "And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people or birds or animals or reptiles." In today's world, we could insert politicians, celebrities, and global warming, or the global warming crisis, eco, whatever thing. Did you know in the 80s that they said that the world was going to freeze over? If you actually go back, I saw this the other day. It was really interesting. Like, now we've decided it's going to burn up, but a couple years ago, it's like, oh, we're freezing. We're going into an ice age. It's crazy. Anyways, this is where it gets really scary. Verse 24. "So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies." Nowadays, you could insert the LGBTQ movement into that, because if you keep reading on, that's exactly what Paul unpacks. "They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen." The doom loop, it goes like this. First, They denied God's truth. Second, they displaced God and his blessings in their lives. Third, they darkened their hearts. Then they degraded their passions. And then they depraved their minds. And again, verse 26 reiterates the horrifying reality of this. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Removed his hand of blessing, protection, guidance, and let them be. Sounds like hell to me. That's the doom loop. But here's the thing. If God wired our brains to push back against the negativity, against sin, against evil, through giving thanks, then he also created for us the gratitude loop. Now, the doom loop is really complicated. There's like five or six steps in there. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. You ready? The gratitude loop is even more complicated. Okay, hang on. You ready? Here it goes. Follow me for a second. Oh, gratitude is the inward feeling of blessings received. Thankfulness is the desire to express the gratitude. Giving thanks is doing thankfulness, just to remind you guys. Now, you ready? Here's the gratitude loop. Super complicated. You start the loop. Someone blesses you. Someone does something nice to you. Someone initiates graciousness towards you. You ready? You finish the loop. You give thanks to them directly. God doesn't make stuff complicated for us. We complicate we just make everything so complicated. God's like, look, here's how it works. You be generous, you bless someone, and then they respond directly back to you. You start here, and you go around, you extend, and then they receive. That sounds a lot like what we do here. God initiates, we respond. That's what we celebrate at the table. It's built into you and I. It's just that simple. All you got to do is respond to the generosity. But here's the trick. You have to respond directly to them. Because remember, you feel gratitude. You think thankfulness. You do thanksgiving, right? You have to do the doing part here. Why? Because giving thanks signals receiving the blessing. Have you ever done something nice for someone and they don't say thank you? Even if it's like a small thing and you're like... Do you remember Kate and Leopold, that silly movie about the guy who like time travels to the present day from, I don't know, like the romantic era or something, and he's like madly in love with this gal, and the gal's brother is trying to help him understand like how to date in the modern world. And so he's like, well, you got to do the dishes. And he's showing him how to do it, and he loads the dishwasher, and then he's about to push Leopold's about to push the button, and then the brother's like, whoa, hold on. He's like, what? He's like, just wait. And he's like, Kate. And she comes in the room. He's like, now push it. Beep. And she goes, thank you. And he goes, it doesn't count if she doesn't see it. But that's kind of the point, right? Is the idea for you and I is that if we don't respond directly, we don't know. We don't know. It's like someone was telling me they do this big kind of Christmas party thing, and they had these goodie bags. And, it's all their friends and then some acquaintances, right? Well, some of the people, you know, as they were getting ready to leave, goodbye, you know, thanks, this was so great. Oh, my goodie bag. Thank you so much. How generous. And they go, but then they noticed at the end that some people had just sort of left without saying goodbye. And they also were like noticing that, like, well, did they get their goodie bag? Did they, they didn't know. And because the people hadn't extended to them, hadn't said thank you. And so it's like, well, did they remember? Did they forget? Are they just being like rude? Like, what's going on? The point here of this gratitude loop is that you can start it or you can finish it, either way. But if someone blesses you, you've got to do thankfulness directly back to that person so that they know and they realize. That's good practice for us, even with God our Father. That's why we incorporate that into how we worship and how we pray together. You know what the result of the gratitude loop is? If you get that down and you start doing that, the result is connection. It builds connection. It builds relationships. 1 Corinthians 1:4. We just touched on this, but the second half of that verse, it says, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts that he gave you, right? He started the loop. And then the thank you and the giving thanks, and where does it end up? Now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Connection, relationship. See, here's the thing. Connection builds hope. Hope is remembering promises fulfilled and anticipating future promises to be experienced. That's Advent. Hope is remembering promises fulfilled and anticipating future promises to be experienced. If you don't finish the gratitude loop, what do you end up with? Well, you don't end up with connection. What do you end up with? Disconnection, hopelessness, despair, right? If left undone too many times, you start feeling, wow, I'm trying, and this person's not responding to, what is going on? Disconnection, hopelessness, despair. That's why it's so pivotal for us to participate in this gratitude loop of giving thanks to God the Father for what he has done and what he has promised that he will do, giving thanks to one another, even in the small things. Yeah, I don't want to share that. Here, I'll share this one instead. There's a friend of my wife, and just to give an example of like how if you don't do this gratitude loop, it ends up in disconnection and all these things. Their family goes to Belize every December. Now, if you haven't been to Belize, I haven't, but apparently it's awesome. And I think, you know, you can watch the videos and stuff. It's a pretty fantastic place. This couple was they were hopeless about going. They did not want to go and be with these people because these people couldn't figure out how to do the gratitude loop, and they were dreading going to paradise on earth. And finally, they couldn't take it any longer, and they just canceled the trip. The family paid for the trip. Catch this. This is how dramatic not getting the gratitude loop is in our lives, is it can have cataclysmic effects on our relationships. That I would rather stay home in Northern California where it's cold and wet than go to Belize because these people can't do the gratitude loop because they're just ungrateful, and they just make life miserable. That's a terrible place to be. It's a cautionary tale for you and I. So here's my Advent challenge as we start out. Building gratitude and hope in our lives. Here's a couple of ways that you can do this. One, pay attention to the little things. Just pay attention to the people around you and the ways they're extending to you a blessing. Even if it's small. The second one, focus on the good in others. It's easy to focus on the, well, they don't take out the garbage when I ask them to. Well, they don't. It's easy to do that. But maybe you and I ought to be a little bit more like Cindy Lou, who focused on the good in the Grinch and drew that out of him, and his heart grew and grew because she believed in the good that was possible in him when everybody else thought he was, he believed that too. But because she focused on the good, she drew that out of him. Another one. Gratitude, this is a weird one. Gratitude through counter-reality. I don't know if you ever played this game before. It's the what-if game of like, what if I never met Deanne? What if we never dated or got married or had two incredible kids or did this crazy 26 whatever years of ministry life thing that we've been doing together? What if we never did this trip or that? Sometimes I think about that. You know, just to ponder the realities of like, wow, I would have missed out on a lot. And I am thankful. And I tell her that. You know, I am thankful for you. I'm just thankful for you. You know. So the fourth one here. Build a discipline of thanking God. I think we all do this, but it's just a good reminder to be intentional In the big things and the little things, especially the little things, and especially in the times of trial and challenge, give thanks in all circumstances, that this becomes a discipline of ours, that we don't just like, oh, hey, God, thanks for the bonus, or oh, hey, God, you know, like, but that we actually kind of dig down a little deeper, and we pay attention, and we notice where God's at work in our lives, and we reflect that back to Him. We finish that gratitude loop. Giving thanks is doing thankfulness. Thankfulness is a desire to express gratitude. Gratitude is the inward feeling of blessings received. Hope is the anchor of giving thanks. And that's what we celebrate today together. Hope is the anchor in our life, this hope in Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has promised that He will do. And our calling is to return back that loop, giving thanks to Him. Isaiah 2:5 says this, "Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." I invite you to step into Advent this year with hope and love and joy and peace and anticipation, and be thankful. Do thank you, thanksgiving to others. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your word and the opportunity to be Your people and respond to You. We look forward to what You're going to do in and amongst us in this season. We look forward to what You're going to teach us. We look forward to how You're going to open our hearts and our minds to Your realities. I pray that You would give us the courage and the strength to extend thanksgiving even to people that we've been struggling with. Lord, rebuild those relationships. And Lord, if we're in an emotionally rough place right now, draw out of us thanksgiving to You. Renew, restore, rebuild, reframe our emotional state to hope in You, our anchor in this crazy world. We love You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.